Several years ago, the late St. John Paul II renamed the second Sunday after Easter Divine Mercy Sunday, recalling the apparitions of the Lord to St. Faustina Kowalska in Poland in the 1930s, when Christ wanted the world to know about the depth of his mercy for all humanity. And it's appropriate, as we have Jesus appearing to the apostles the week after his resurrection from the dead, giving them the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. And thus we have the origin of the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. And the question is, why does God do this? The answer is found in the responsorial psalm, because his mercy endures forever because of his love for us. This year, Pope Francis has declared as a year of mercy for us to receive, to pray for, and to distribute the mercy of God around the world. The theme of this year is quoting from Jesus himself, which is for us to be merciful like the Father. God's mercy, though, is found in the very beginning of humanity, in the book of Genesis. After God created Adam, he puts Adam in the midst of creation, a perfect world, and Adam, of course, tries to find his place and have a rapport with all the creatures God has made, but he can't find anyone that's like himself. Why? Because unlike the rest of creation, Adam is made in the image and likeness of God, which means that Adam, unlike the animals, has not only instinct, but also an intellect. He can think and he can reason. He also has a free will to choose to love. And that's the point. He can love like God does, unlike the rest of creation. Free will to love unconditionally as the Father loves. Now God looked at Adam and said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helpmate for him." Why? Adam needed someone with whom he could exchange love who would have the same gifts that he had. An intellect, a free will, and the capacity to love unconditionally. But also someone with whom he could share ideas, establish a relationship, and actually do something with and for, to build community. Why? Because God himself, as you know, is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made one by complete mutual self-giving love. And so it is with the rest of humanity. We are meant to be united to Christ and united to one another in that bond of charity. Mercy is defined as the compassionate disposition to forgive someone. So it's the compassionate disposition to forgive someone. But we also know that forgiveness is not the same thing as excusing somebody, saying, "Well, that's okay because you are the way you are for various reasons." No. Forgiveness means I pardon you from your sin, but I expect something else. I expect something better. That's what God does with us. He forgives us of our sins, obviously, but he also wants us to be responsible for our actions, to do something good, to love, to be perfect as he is perfect. And so besides simply being that disposition to forgive someone, it's offered to offer aid to others, to be of assistance to someone, or to help someone in need. After all, isn't that what God does with us? He forgives us, but he offers us his grace, he offers us his assistance, his divine help. He is there to help us in our needs always, to be who he created us to be. So closely connected then to mercy are the concepts of grace. God freely gives us his very own life as grace. In turn, it gives us a desire to thank him for that, an attitude of thanksgiving, and inspires us to be good as God is good, to love as God loves, to show loving kindness, to show compassion to one another as God's been compassionate to us, and of course to be patient with one another as God has been patient with us. As Jesus says, when the apostles asked him, "How many times must I forgive my brother if he sins against me?" And Jesus says, "Not only 7 times, but 70 times 7. Not meaning simply 490 times and be done with it, but to forgive infinitely, as the Father does with us. Mercy is an essential quality of God. God is love, God is mercy. And so Jesus tells us to be merciful like the Father. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the merciful, for mercy shall be theirs." we see this time and again in the history of Israel as God gives them the commandments. And even though they disobey again and again, God faithfully again and again keeps his promises and maintains the covenant despite his people's transgressions and their unfaithfulness to him. But the mercy of God is far more than simply withholding punishment. As I mentioned earlier, it actively helps. It does something. It actively helps those who find themselves miserable due to circumstances beyond their control or as the result of their own sinfulness. And we see this constantly in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus is there to heal the blind. He heals the deaf, he heals lepers, and he heals the lame. We see Jesus forgiving sin in the woman that was at the well, the woman who was caught in adultery, Mary Magdalene, who's there anointing his feet. So we see all of this, but it is seen most dramatically when Christ defies the result of sin, which is death. And he raises the widow's son, he raises the daughter of Jairus, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. In the parable of the prodigal son, the Lord describes how his own father, our father, is indeed, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the Father of mercies, the God of all consolation. The greatest act of the Father's mercy is in his sending of his son to suffer and die for our salvation and raising him from the dead to restore to us life eternal. That is the greatest act of the mercy of God. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre wrote a play called No Exit. In this play, Sartre describes the disposition of three deceased persons, and they're in hell, punished because of their selfishness. But hell is not what we think. It's a beautifully appointed room, and they're there together. But they're placed there on purpose to make each other miserable. They are to face their own misdeeds, suggesting without faith, of course, that because of their selfishness, other people become nothing but torture to themselves and to others. Hell, No Exit says, is other people. A dark and dismal way of looking at things. Now it's true, people can condemn us, and they do. People try to define us, to have us live as they see fit, and that does happen, that people try to put us in a box. People will withhold their love for us, people will torture and murder us, or we might do the very same thing. But no one can ever take away that free will that God gave us. But we can use that free will in the wrong way, and certainly become torturous, condemning, or make life hellish. Selfishness is slavery. Focusing on oneself only is slavery. Selfishness is indeed hell. Mercy, on the other hand, is concerned with the good of another. Mercy is concerned with us helping one another, respecting their freedom, but they're helping others to choose and to do what is right, what is good, and what is true, what is God-like. And Jesus says that in the gospel, as the Father has sent me in mercy, so I send you in mercy. In the traditional works of mercy, the spiritual and corporal works that we've been taught, we know that we're here to correct sinners and to show them a more excellent way. We're here to instruct the unlearned. We're here to counsel the doubtful, that we're here to comfort the sorrowful and to bear wrongs patiently. That Christ calls us to forgive injuries and to pray for the living and to pray for the deceased. In our actions, the Lord wants us to see to it that the hungry are fed, that the naked are clothed, and that the homeless are sheltered. That we're here to care for the needs of the sick, we're here to care for the needs of the confined, the imprisoned, and of course, in love, to bury the dead. Now, it's all too easy for us, like those characters in that play, No Exit, to simply talk. And talk a lot, to gossip and to complain, to gripe and to pass judgment, to blame everybody else, to curse and condemn, rather than to do something. But this is exactly what mercy entails, that we have received mercy, we are to give mercy, to help make other persons or to help make their lives better, easier. like Simon did with Christ, to help bear the burden of the cross. When you and I refuse that call to be merciful as the Father is merciful, then you and I are rejecting our very being. We're rejecting exactly what God created us to be. And that becomes hell. But we are made in the very image and likeness of a God who is mercy, who is justice, and who is love. When we fail to do this, to show mercy, to judge rightly, to counsel and to love, then hell certainly does become other people. Or we can realize that we are called for something greater, called to be saints, that it's not good for us to be alone, that we must be with God and we must be with one another, that we are called and created to be helpmates to one another in doing what's good and showing mercy freely, always choosing to do the work of Jesus in mercy. Again, as the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so I send you. That we continue the work of Christ in mercy, in healing, in pardoning, and in bestowing peace, in having conversion of our own lives at the same time, to live a life of love and of service for God and of neighbor. And we do this so that all may say, as we live and perform the works of Christ, truly indeed the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Alleluia.